Zacchaeus, come down. Chapter 65. A beautiful large house which looks like a palace stands on a street in the city of Jericho. Who lives there? A king? No, no king or prince lives there. Who then? If you ask this question of one of the inhabitants of Jericho, he will know. His eyes will sparkle as his fists clench impulsively. A despised look comes upon his face, and with a voice full of contempt and trembling with indignation, he says, "There? In that house? A thief lives there. A betrayer of his own people lives there." The man from Jericho is correct. The beautiful house belongs to Zacchaeus, the publican. He is not an ordinary publican, but worse, he is the chief of the publicans. Jericho is a busy trading city. Therefore, it is not surprising several publicans live in this city. Even the chief of the publicans has chosen this city as his place of abode. Was Zacchaeus a tall, husky fellow? No, we read in the Bible he was little of stature, much smaller than other people. It seemed as though he had a bright intellect, for he became the chief of the publicans. No doubt he was a stern master who performed his work very well, otherwise the Romans never would have made him chief. God's word tells us he was rich. How did he become rich? Again, ask this question of someone from Jericho. Scornfully, they will answer you, "Yes, he is rich, that is true." But he did not become rich in an honest way. Oh no, indeed not. He stole his riches. He asks far too much money from his own people. He gives a part to the Romans, the remainder he keeps for himself. In this way, he has gathered a fortune. No one cares for him. Every Jew hates him. If he walks along the streets, he is greeted by angry, hostile eyes. Many of the people he meets probably spit contemptuously upon the ground as a sign of great disregard. For the other Jews, he is an outcast, one who always is pointed at with the finger. And, children, Zacchaeus deserved the contempt. He earned the scorn and derision of his people. Do you think he was happy? We cannot read anywhere in the Bible that he was happy. Really, it couldn't be so either, because no one can live without love. Neither could Zacchaeus. He acted as though it did not trouble him. But dissatisfaction gnawed deep down in his heart. It couldn't be otherwise. Sin never gives peace. Sin makes a person unhappy. Do you believe this? One day we see him hastily leaving his home. He runs quickly down the street. Where is he going? Many wild sycamore trees grew in Jericho and its vicinity. They were trees with large, thick leaves, and usually the branches hung very low. Zacchaeus runs to a sycamore tree and quickly climbs into it. He soon is hidden in the shelter of the thick leaves. Probably some people saw him. Perhaps in their hearts they ridiculed him and laughed at him. Whatever the people thought about him, Zacchaeus does not care. He feels he has a nice place. No one can see him there, but from between the leaves he can see everything which goes on down below. Oh, tell us, why did Zacchaeus climb in this wild sycamore tree like a schoolboy? Isn't that unbecoming? No prominent man would do such a thing. Zacchaeus did this because he wanted to see Jesus. Jesus? Is this great prophet in Jericho? Yes. He is walking through the streets of Jericho, surrounded by a great multitude. He is going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He has just cured the blind Bartimaeus, as we told you in our former chapter. It is most certain Zacchaeus already has heard much talk about Jesus of Nazareth. He heard Jesus did not hate the publicans, but he spoke with them. Yes, he even ate and drank with them. Probably he heard what happened to Levi, the publican from Capernaum. Therefore, Zacchaeus also is anxious to see this wonderful prophet. It is an unusual thing for a Jew to be friendly with publicans. However, Zacchaeus would not go to Jesus. He didn't want to. But when he hears Jesus is coming through Jericho, he decides to see this friend of publicans and sinners. Perhaps he saw the great multitude coming in the distance. It is a pity he is so small. If he remains standing on the road, he never will be able to look over the heads of the multitude, and yet he will and must see Jesus. But how is this to be done? Should he force himself through the crowd until he stands before Jesus? Impossible. They never would let the hated chief of the publicans pass through. He well knows the Jews never would step aside for him. He stands up for a moment in deep meditation, thinking about what to do. He cannot wait long. The people are approaching. Soon it will be too late. Jesus will pass by, and it will be too late for him to see Jesus. He casts his eyes upon the sycamore trees lining the street, and in a moment his plan is made. This is when he quickly runs ahead of the multitude and skillfully climbs one of these trees. From this place, he plainly can see this wonder for performing prophet from Nazareth, who will pass by presently. He quietly waits for the people to come that way. Soon, the first ones pass. More and more follow. No one sees him. No one takes notice of this chief of the publicans who is sitting hidden in the shelter of the thick leaves. And then, Zacchaeus stretches his neck. There is Jesus of Nazareth. Never before did he see Jesus. Still, he feels this must be he. It couldn't be otherwise. Inquisitively, he observes him closely. Surprisingly, Jesus stands still, looks up, and calls clearly and distinctly, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Oh, does Jesus know this ruler? Has Jesus ever before seen him? No, but the Lord proves here he is omniscient. He is God's Son, from whom nothing is hidden. Zacchaeus thought no one could see him in the tree, but he was mistaken because Jesus saw him. The Lord Jesus knows everything. The other Jews look up in great astonishment. They do not understand. They did not know someone was sitting in the tree. You can imagine their surprise. When the branches move, the leaves shake, and suddenly Zacchaeus stands before the Lord Jesus. Who is able to write what transpired in this publican's soul? He is filled with astonishment because Jesus called him by name and desires to be his guest. Suddenly, shame fills his heart because of his sinful, ungodly life. Tears fill his eyes, tears of true, upright sorrow. Jesus called him, and he came immediately, not slowly and hesitatingly, but with haste. The Spirit of God made Zacchaeus willing to come. Soon the people proceed to the home of this rich publican. Jesus enters his luxurious house. Astonished, the Jews stare after Jesus. Resentment and anger rise in their hearts. These Jews cannot understand Jesus' friendly attitude toward this deceiver, thief, and betrayer of his people. They are offended with his conduct. They mumble and murmur, saying he went into the house of a sinful man. It is evident Zacchaeus prepared a meal with pleasure, for we read in the Bible that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. When we look at Zacchaeus, the terror of Jericho, we notice he has changed greatly. Zacchaeus can no longer live in sin. He loathes his former life. He wishes to rectify as much as possible the wrong he formerly did. Lord, he says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Do you hear this? He says, Lord. By faith, he believes Jesus is the Son of David, the long-promised deliverer who also would redeem him from his many great sins and iniquities. Formerly, he did not possess this faith, but by the operation of God's Spirit, it now has entered his heart. Zacchaeus, the chief of the publicans, shunned and despised by everyone, is saved from the deadly state of sin by the Lord Jesus, the Savior. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. This day is salvation come to this house. For Zacchaeus, this day has become a wonderful day, a day which he never will forget. He, who was such a sinner, such a lost one, was sought by Jesus. Let the other Jews murmur, even if there is no place in their hearts for the Savior, and there is a place made in the heart of Zacchaeus. The Jews were too pious for this. They did not understand that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is there room in your heart for the Savior? Alas, by nature there is not. You are too busy with other things, aren't you? Of your own accord you will not, neither can you love the Lord Jesus. Only the Holy Ghost can remove the enmity and the rebellion from your heart. Ask the Lord to give you the blessedness which Zacchaeus received. Thousands of Passover celebrants murmur, but they do not leave the Lord. No, they hope Jesus will soon, very soon, set up the kingdom of David. To warn them against this opinion, the Lord Jesus tells them another parable. Listen. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. So begins the Lord Jesus. He continues, after this man had the kingdom, he was to return. Before he went, he called his 10 servants and gave them each a pound, which means a bag of money. Trade with it, he says, until I return. Then he went on his journey. Now the citizens of this country hated this man and sent messengers after him with the message, "We will not acknowledge you as our king. Remain away. You need not come back." How repulsive, isn't it? But in due time the king did return. Immediately he called his servants to him. Lord, says the first, I have traded with the money which you gave me, and I have gained 10 times as much. The king praised this servant. You have been a diligent servant, he says. I will give you 10 cities of my kingdom. You may rule over them. The second servant came and said, Lord, I have gained 5 times as much money as you gave me. This servant also is commended, and he received authority over 5 cities. The third servant approaches. Lord, he says, I did not trade with your money. I feared you. I knew I couldn't please you. You would not be satisfied because you are a hard and unjust person. I buried your talent in the ground, so I would not lose your money. If you please, here is your money. The third servant is not commended. On the contrary, he is reprimanded because he was lazy and angry. The money which he received was taken from him. And the citizens which said, We will not acknowledge you as our king, also were punished. They were slain in the presence of the king. What a strange parable. What does it mean? Why did the Lord Jesus tell this parable? Now you must be very attentive. By the nobleman, the Savior meant himself. He would not immediately establish his kingdom, but he would journey to a faraway country. This means he first would ascend into heaven. Later he will return. It will be on the last day of the world, which is the judgment day. He then will sit in judgment over the living and the dead. It is as though the Lord says, O you Jewish people, do not expect an earthly kingdom, because I will establish a heavenly kingdom. But first I must purchase it with my blood. I must suffer and die. Thereby shall I obtain the heavenly kingdom. Do you believe this? Don't you acknowledge such a king? I warn you, the punishment will come later. I will, when I shall return upon the clouds of heaven, slay you. This means I will cast you into hell forever, into eternal damnation. By the servants, the Lord means the ministers. They must warn the people by preaching to them. God's servants also tell you that you must be converted. They also preach to you the possibility of being saved. Boys and girls, I know this parable is difficult. You will not be able to understand all of it. There is a serious warning in it for all of us. The King, King Jesus, shall return. Who knows how soon? And then he will judge the quick and the dead. Is he by grace also your king? If he is, you need not be afraid, for either at your death or at the end of time, he will take you to himself into his kingdom, into glory. But if he is not your king, then fear and tremble, because you will be cast into eternal perdition by this angry king. This will be dreadful. Oh, may you in this life learn to know him as your Savior. You will then be most blessed and happy. Surely you can understand this, can't you?